So we've been looking at the life of Ahab and really the house of Omri. Ahab is the second generation of the house of Omri, and there's a few more that would come. But what happened last time and what's happened during this narrative as we've been covering it, God is trying to capture the heart of his people and trying to capture the heart of Ahab in the meantime, because Ahab, it said about him, he was like the most evil king and that there was no one worse than him before. So he was the worst king, and he married Jezebel, who was an idolatress, and they loved the Baal, and they built temples to Baal and served him. And God was trying to reach the people of Israel. He was trying to wake them up. So he started off by rising up a prophet, and that was Elijah. Elijah was the first of two major prophets. You have Elijah and then later Elisha. And he rose up this prophet, and it was a confrontation. At one point, Ahab calls Elijah the enemy of Israel. And, of course, Elijah as a prophet is representing and presenting the word of God. So at the word of God, Elijah prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and it did not rain until he prayed again. This was a wake-up call. They had a famine, and it was a wake-up call to them. And then after, or right before the rain was going to come again, he was on Mount Carmel, and there were basically 850 prophets of Asherah and Baal, and Elijah watched them, and there was a huge contest. Whichever God answered by fire, he would be God. And of course, the Lord Yahweh answered by fire, and they killed those prophets of Baal. Again, trying to wake up the hearts of Israel and of Ahab. And then there were two wars that God fought for Israel. And Ahab he took credit for it to some degree. And again, God showing himself to the nation, showing himself to Ahab. He's a victorious God, and he won two battles. And what did Ahab and Jezebel do in response to this is in this narrative we talked about last time, Naboth's vineyard. And in Naboth's vineyard, again, they continued their idolatry all the way through. And in Naboth's vineyard, they committed lawlessness to an extreme degree. They broke laws about covetousness, false witness, stealing land, theft, and murder. So they had all these laws that they broke. And so the Lord pronounced judgment on Ahab. He pronounced judgment. And he tells Ahab through Elijah that he will, not only he will die, but his entire family will be wiped out. That he'll become like the house of Jeroboam and the house of Baasha, two kings that were utterly destroyed, their whole family, so that no one could, from that line could continue. And then Ahab cried to the Lord because he was so struck by the word of God. And God repented in a sense, saying it won't happen while he's alive, while Ahab's alive. But God's judgment is still there. God's judgment is still coming. Ahab rejected all these attempts that God gave him. They continued in their sin, and they became very hardened to the word of God. That's what idolatry does. Greg Beale wrote a book called We Become What We Worship. And he just became hardened to the word of God so that when the word of God came, he would not respond. He did not like prophets. They killed many prophets, him and Jezebel, right? So that's the background. That's where we are. And one of the things about Ahab is he's been judged by God, and he wants to just continue on like nothing happened. This is how some people want to live. They want to kind of continue to live the way they want to live, right? Even though the word of God is telling them something different. And Ahab's been warned, and he's basically been condemned. God's patience has come to an end, and he's been condemned, and he still wants to play king. So this is where we come in chapter 22. By the way, Ahab's name is not mentioned in chapter 22. Yeah. So there was 3 years, it says, without war, and then it picks up here. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram?" And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. So it's interesting that you know, this is Jehoshaphat is a good king. He's from the line of David, and he's a good king, and he agrees to go and share the battle. Now, Ramoth-Gilead, if you remember, after battles that Israel won, Ben-Hadad said he would give him back that city. And here it is 3 years later. Hey, we still don't have that city, so let's go to war and reclaim. Think about this guy. He's not thinking at all about the judgment of the Lord. He's just thinking about business as usual and just pretending like nothing has happened, right? So they gather. Well, Jehoshaphat said, you know, to the king, please inquire first for the word of the Lord. And this was David all over. David, you know, was a person. He went to battle many times, and every time he went to war, he asked God whether he should go or not. And he never lost a battle. So Jehoshaphat, who's a good king, says to Ahab, hey, why don't we inquire of the Lord? So what does he do? He gathers 400 of his prophets together. And they all start doing their typical thing. They're telling him what he wants to hear. They keep going around saying, you know, go up, for the Lord will give it into your hands. And Jehoshaphat's listening to these 400 false prophets talking about how wonderful it's going to be and all the victories that are going to come if they just go up and do it. And Jehoshaphat asks, is there a prophet of the Lord here? Do we have a prophet of the Lord? And Ahab answers, there's Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but I hate prophesies evil. This is the nature of sin and hardness against God, is I don't want to hear the truth. I want to hear what I want to hear. And I don't want to listen to, you know, Micaiah, because he always speaks for the Lord. Ahab's way of thinking, he always says bad things about me. He never tells me things are going to go well. In Jeremiah's day, he talked about the same idea where the false prophets, the word of most of the prophets was, oh, peace and prosperity are coming your way. It's going to be a great time, and everything's going to be wonderful, right? And literally, doom was right around the corner, and it was going to come in Jeremiah's day. Same thing here. All these false prophets are telling Ahab how victorious he's going to be, how wonderful the day is going to be. And Ahab doesn't want to hear from the word of God, because that's what a prophet is, right? Here, Micaiah, he says, I hate him. Think of that. He also hated Elijah. He hates the word of God. He hates the testimony of God because it tells the truth. At the same time, there's a guy named Zedekiah, the son of Shana, and made horns of iron for himself and said, thus says the Lord, with these you cure the Arameans until they are consumed. And so then Ahab and Jehoshaphat sat on thrones, and all these prophets are going shouting out that they are going to indeed be victorious and enjoying themselves. And Ahab sends for Micaiah. Now the messenger goes to Micaiah and he says to him, the messenger says, speak favorably. All these prophets are out there and they're telling him all these good things. So you come and you share the same message. Don't mess up the party, you know. And Micaiah tells him, he says, you know, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I shall speak. There's a, you know, the problem is, again, with sinners, they have their own plans, right? They have their own idea of what they want to see happen. They have their own goals, their own standards, their own dreams. They have this world they want to create and live in, and so they don't really want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear the truth, because that'll spoil their plans. That'll spoil their dreams, their ambitions. It'll make them change who they are to something that God likes, instead of having everything their own way, right? Jesus told us to be afraid, or be, you know, he said, woe to you when people say nothing but good about you, right? Because he said that they said that about the false prophets. One of the problems that we have in our culture right now is, again, this false teaching that goes out into the world, these weak books that are written in the name of Christianity, and the idea that, you know, life is supposed to be just happy, joyous, everything easy, no pain, you know, just how Jesus is going to help me feel good about myself, how Jesus is going to help me learn how to stash money away, how Jesus is going to help me in all these ways that Jesus never said he would help us. Creating a false Christianity and a message that appeals to American culture, a message that appeals to the desires that are placed in our hearts by a consumerist culture and such, right? Paul talked about being persecuted because he's telling the truth. Here, this prophet says, I will only speak what the Lord tells me to speak. And he's going to stand in front of 400 prophets that are speaking a different message. And when he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go up and succeed. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. You know, he's mocking Ahab. He said, this is what you want to hear. You know, you want to hear, oh, go on, Ahab, just like everybody says, oh, it's going to be a wonderful day for you, right? And then the king said to him, you know, how many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? And so this is what he's going to do. He said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace. So here it is. He's telling him the shepherd, Ahab, is going to be gone. And all Israel is going to be without a shepherd. There's not going to be a king after the battle is over. Then he turns to Jehoshaphat, Ahab does, and says, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Right? Because he's standing in front of that crowd of 400 false prophets telling the truth. And there's a little tension in that. Micah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one of them said this, while another one said that. Just like the book of Revelation, the judgment of the Lord comes from his throne. So here, you know, Micaiah says, I saw the Lord, and he was on his throne, and he had a heavenly court, much like, again, in Revelation. And the Lord says, how are we going to get Ahab to go up to Ramoth-Gilead? And there are all these different, you know, councils going on. And then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. The Lord said, how? And he said, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And then he said, you are to entice him and will prevail. Go and do so. And there it is. You know, you have this, all these false prophets. One of the problems with being false is it opens you up all kinds of spirits. Here, you remember, you know, we think of God as absolutely in control, and there's all this evil and evil spirits, right? And so this lying spirit says, I'll go and I'll deceive all the prophets at the bidding of the Lord. When you listen to lies, right, it's easy for lies to be continued to grow. This false spirit talks to the false prophets, and they were eager to take his lies. They didn't have anything to test it. One of the things I think for us that's really important is our reliance, our absolute reliance on the Word of God. We test everything by the Word of God. We're told that in the last days there's going to be an evil that rises up, and that evil is going to have great powers. They're going to be able to show signs in heaven and signs on earth. They'll be able to heal people probably and show great wonders and miracles. But out of their mouths, they will spew falsehood and lies. How many people are deceived by that? because they've not worshiped the true God, because they haven't listened to the word of God, because they have ignored that or pushed it aside because they don't like what it says. They don't like what it tells them to do or be. They want to do it their own way. They want to have their own dreams, their own ambitions. And if God exists for anything, it's to give me what I want, to give me my ambitions and my dreams. So when a false doctrine and a false prophet stand together, the person that's been believing all that stuff is easily duped, easily taken in, just as Ahab was taken in. Ahab didn't recognize the truth. He just got angry at it when it was put in front of him. He didn't recognize the 400 prophets and his own Zedekiah that got up and made those horns and said, "You're going to kill the Arameans with these." Ahab just probably enjoyed that to the nth degree, right? And all that was being led by lying, falsehood. And only Micaiah stood in that congregation and told the truth, right? And then he said, "Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets, and the Lord has proclaimed disaster against you." Then Zedekiah, who had made that horn and said, "You're going to kill the Arameans," Zedekiah, the son of Shenana, I like that, you know, Shenana, okay. He came near and he struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "How did the Spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you?" And Micaiah said, "Behold, you will see on that day when you enter an inner room to hide yourself." So, again, the false prophet doesn't recognize the false spirit that spoke to him. He's still standing up saying, "How did the Spirit?" He's calling the lying spirit the Spirit of the Lord. How many times have people, again, you know, said, "Well, I know the will of the Lord, and it's to do what I want to do," right? It happens all the time. People get confused because when we're not listening to what God says and we're not looking at what God does, right, it's easy to think, "Oh, you know, it's what I want that matters." We would all do that but you know, what happens to us when we listen to the Word of God? It challenges us deeply. It challenges us to our core. It tells me, you know, some of these things that are ambitions in my heart aren't right. Some of the ideas that I might seek after isn't what God desires or God wills. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be in line with falsehood. I don't want to be easy to trick or to trap. And that's really what's happening to Ahab. He's being tricked and he's being trapped into his own execution by lies. Lord, help us, right, to hold to the word, to know the truth so well. When the trick comes, wait a minute, that's just not right. When the trap comes, no, I'm not stepping into that snare. Because the word of the Lord warned me about truth, and it tells me what truth is, and it tells me what God is, and anything that's false becomes quite clear because I know what the truth is. One of the things, you know, we were surrounded by Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, and the television's got all kinds of religious stuff. Even our culture has a sense of spirituality that's allowed, but really no room for we take God and we take truth into our hearts and into our minds, it makes us very aware when we see the false. It just becomes clear. That's just not right. We need that protection, and God's given it to us in his word. Zedekiah didn't have that. He spent his life spiritually following whatever demon would speak to him. And he thought it was the word of the Lord. And so when Micaiah tells him, "Oh, you're going to find out when you're hiding in your closet." Why is he going to hide? Because he stood up in front of all Israel and 2 kings, and he told them what was going to happen. And Zedekiah said is not going to happen. And he's going to be defeated in battle, and he's going to have to hide himself. Because what do you do with a false prophet? You should take him out and stone him. I knew I'd get an answer over there. You take them out and you stone them, right? So this isn't the end of the story. So they're going to go to battle at Ramoth Gilead. And Israel, you know, Ahab, he's just called the king of Israel, but Ahab says, you know, hey, look, I want to be kind of a humble guy. I'm going to dress in a regular soldier suit. Jehoshaphat, you put on the robes and you get in the king's chariot and you go into battle as this glorious image. And so they go to battle like that. And the enemies, the Arameans, say, the commander tells them, he says, listen, don't go after anyone. Don't go after any soldiers. Get the king of Israel. And so the army, and they see the fancy chariot and the robes, and they say, that's him. And they start chasing after him. And as they're chasing, Jehoshaphat turns around and says, hey, guys, it's me, Jehoshaphat. And they stop. And then it says, one soldier just randomly pulls an arrow back and lets it fly. And it hit Ahab in the joints of his armor. A precise kill shot at random. You cannot stop the judgments of God. You can't stop the judgments of God. You can't change the word of God. You can get all the stuff in the world to tell you all kinds of falsehoods and lies to build up your ego, to give you your dreams and your hopes, but you can't change what God has decided. Ahab, through trickery, through deception, through false prophets, with his hardened heart, thought he was going to be okay. And that one arrow ended his life. They took his chariot around Jezreel and they washed it out, and the blood went down onto the ground, the place where the prostitutes washed themselves, and the dogs licked up his blood. And what Elijah had told him in the last chapter was, the dogs will feast on your flesh. And then he said, or drink your blood, and he said they will eat Jezebel, which we'll see. The main part is trying to think, you know, how do we make sense of this for ourselves? Again, the need of the truth of God to be saturating in our minds and our heart. And if we don't know it, we need to be with people that do. And when we hear ideas and they sound good, we need to be able to either ask someone or to know for ourselves, is that the truth? Is that from God? Know this, that we won't escape a jot or a tittle of God's word. Heaven and earth, he said, is going to pass away, but not one point of the word of God will disappear. God is doing great things. God is working in hearts and lives. Our culture is losing its mind and going towards hardness and falsehood. We need to be strong and wise in order to stand against that falsehood. Amen.